This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome to the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and we have another extraordinary friend coming on the Playbook today. He's Leonard Brody. He's co-founder and executive chairman of Caravan, but he does it all. And we'd love to talk about today's brand and brand building. Welcome to the Playbook, Leonard.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we've been in the game a little bit longer, and I hope you don't take offense to that. I can just tell that you have extraordinary experience as an award-winning entrepreneur, venture capital, best-selling author, which we share in all of that together, but I don't share in being a two-time Emmy award-winning nominee, maybe someday, but brand is essential in all of those, and it's been essential for me ever since I ran Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment, the notable sports agency, and Warren Moon and I built a global sports marketing company. But brand building has changed immensely as well. So I thought maybe you could help me and our community understand, one, the importance of brand, and then maybe let's get into how brand building has changed.
Sure. I think brand is really dependent on the context of the product you're talking about, whether it's a person. It's so different just depending on the category, especially price points and different things affect it. But I think generally speaking, you started in the early 2000s moving into kind of infinite media. And so you went from kind of restricted media to infinite media. And then slowly towards the beginning of kind of 2019, 2017, you entered into infinite product. And so before there was, you had restricted pipelines on media, you had restricted pipelines on product, you had to get it on a shelf at a retailer, and you didn't have this big D2C movement where everyone is able to make stuff cheaply and get it into people's doors cheaply. In addition, it's super easy now to just go and buy stuff out of a factory in Asia if you need to buy direct. So I think in a world of infinite media, a world of infinite product, brand becomes more important. And I think the reason it's important, and I talk about this a lot, is back in the day, brand, I think, was important because you needed to stand out in what was then considered a crowded field, which really, by today's standards, wasn't that crowded. But brand was kind of a way that people could associate with you and understand the systems in which you built, who the people were. It was just the brand quality, the look and feel, how it sat on a shelf, all of that stuff. And I think now that has sharpened dramatically, because in a post-iOS 14 world where it's really difficult to reach people through direct advertising, two things have happened. iOS 14 happened, but then you also have this real shift in buyers and purchasers that are sort of under 45 that are really committed to buying from brands that they understand the value system of. And I don't mean value system in the context of they're philanthropic or they're socially driven, just what does the brand stand for? And I think now, because people are more focused on buying from brands they share value systems with, brand is much more heightened than it was. It's not just about look and feel and product quality and where it sits in its competitive base. It's really about understanding the value system of the company itself. And I think that is how you stand out in this kind of infinite product, infinite media world. So it's more important than it ever was before.
And in that importance and relative to what is infinite is another thing that has almost reached an infinite level, which is community. In the past, when we put up TV commercials, billboards, newspaper ads, articles, and placements with PR, we had a limited social silo that was created in a limited community. We have an unfathomable size, scope, and scale of community today. How has that changed the face of brand building when you have someone who already has a great community like a Carrie Underwood or an Antoni with the Yummers brands, things like that? They can't even fathom, because they are limited by their own perspective, that 60,000 in a stadium is a lot of people. Comparatively to 7.6 billion people. How do you deal with the size, scope, and scale of that community possibility?
Yeah, so I think community, First of all, I think community is much harder than people think it is. It's incredibly difficult to build communities. It's incredibly difficult to build communities that people care about or want to engage with. And so I think people talk about it a lot. It's an incredibly powerful tool in terms of building brand, but really hard and really difficult to do, especially because, again, if you've got infinite product and infinite media, when you've got a community and people are bombarded with just tons of other media sources and distractions, it's even harder to build a community. But I think in the context in which you're speaking, we build a lot of brands with celebrities and people that are iconic personalities. And I think what makes it interesting now, because you hear a lot of conversation about celebrity brand and are there too many of them? And there's lots of articles coming out about people that are building this stuff. I think personalities getting behind companies and brands is nothing new. It's been going on since Liz Taylor and Diamonds and long before that. And I think what makes it more compelling now is if you have an audience, if you believe that an audience of people that are sub 45 are buying from companies they want to understand the value system of, there's nothing better to show the value system of a company than human adjacency. There's no better way to say, like, this is what we stand for because you know what this person stands for. So, in the case of Fit52, Carrie is authentically all about fitness and bringing fitness to the everyday woman in the United States. It's not about coastal elites and it's not about people who, it's all about affordable, accessible fitness and making sure that fitness is a part of your daily routine and your daily life, much like the way it is authentically for Carrie. So Carrie's community, number one, knows what she stands for. And so they engage with her on that level. But two, she's in that app every day. She works out with Fit52 every day. So she's really in the community. She's not this sort of demagogue sitting above the community looking down. She is in the community every day. So it's a great example of how you can build something because 4 or 5 years ago, I don't think Carrie was as well known in the fitness world as she was in music, but now she's equally known, I think, in those two regards as someone who's just authentically one of the great leaders and thought leaders in fitness and wellness in the United States.
And with that adjacency, and obviously I've worked in that space for a long time as a sports agent, there's two inherent dangers in adjacency when we're looking at personalities. One is the moral obligation of how quickly a brand that's adjacent to a human being that's being human can affect or impact that community, which is always a danger and it's nothing new. But the other danger that I find, I call it the celebrity street hustle, and it's why Carrie is so successful and so valuable tied into Fit52. You nailed a really essential point in brand building that, and I'll go ahead and throw someone under the bus like Jake Paul, who's out there doing deals and literally charging a sneaker company to create the Jake Paul sneaker. And he won't wear the sneaker, he won't promote the sneaker, he won't, if he does, he'll just do a soft post of the people of a sneaker that doesn't do it, like you said. Community is difficult. It requires Carrie Underwood to show up every day and at her essence, believe in Fit52 because she used it, does it, and it's helped her. And that wins every time. And in building my own community and my own brand, which I thought would be nearly impossible even 7 years ago, when my boy Gary V Vaynerchuk said, "Dave, you need to build a community via a podcast." I'm like, "Dude, there's 200,000 podcasts. I'll stick to the radio. Sports radio is my gig. I'll be fine." But it took a lot of time and millions of dollars to build a community that's worth it. How do we protect ourselves when we're hiring people to distinguish between, the people that we work with that are legit and the street hustlers out there that are, using a false facade of brand in order to effectuate value?
Yeah, so I think if you're talking in the context of celebrities, like in terms of partnering, I think it's really important to understand that there's, and you'll know this because you've been doing this a long time, there's an evolution in what it means to build a company for celebrities. So probably until about 10 years ago, you couldn't really, as a celebrity or an influencer or somebody with an audience, really build your own company effectively. You were typically doing licensing and endorsement deals, and they were things where your name was on it. You still could care about it very much. You know, you could still have that same care factor and build a community around it. And but it wasn't really entrepreneurship in the traditional sense. Very lucrative. They can build great brands, but those are brands. They're not companies. And I think what's happened in the last decade is you've had obviously the shift where influence can speak and artists can speak to their audiences directly quite seamlessly, which took a while, I think, for people to adjust to and to understand that they really had this direct community behind them. And secondarily, I think you have to accept that people that are really busy and are running around doing what they do as their day jobs need co-pilots and co-founders to actually build these companies, because it's a lot of work. That's the second piece. And thirdly, you have to find artists and athletes and iconic people that care about their entrepreneurial journey so much so that they understand going to a buyer's meeting at Walmart or a buyer's convention in Florida is just as important as a shoot day, or it's just as important as a concert day. And those three things have shifted. You've now got real ability to build companies. That's what Caravan does. We are the co-founder and co-pilot for these amazing people so that we take care of what we know, which is the organizational behavior of building a startup and what that looks like and how you set yourselves up, at least for the foundation of success. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful, but you can learn how to build these foundations to not end up starting with one hand tied behind your back. And thirdly, you've got a real group of entrepreneurially minded celebrities now that are really focused on building empires around things they care about. And so when you put those things together, your chances of success are much higher, I think, than they were 10 years ago.
And 20 years ago, I was blessed to leave Samsung in their data phone division with what they called convergence devices. It was a Windows CE phone called the PCE phone by Samsung to get hired by Jerry Maguire himself, Lee Steinberg. And people wondered, how do you jump from being the CEO of a phone division of Samsung into being the CEO of the most notable sports agency? And the reasons that Lee gave me why he wanted me to take Jeff Morehead's spot was because of my knowledge of technology and venture. He saw the future over 20 years ago, the future of sports and entertainment being based off of technology and venture. You seem to, especially with Caravan, really understand the value that Lee, as a visionary, saw so many decades ago. Today, obviously, you're extremely successful in the venture world, but how are you staying on top of what I think is another nuance of venture that a lot of people still don't have a grasp of, especially with AI and the speed in which we synthesize data and can utilize a virtual relativity to venture? How are you staying on top of the technology side with Caravan?
Yeah, so it's really important to us. We 90% of my team are technologists. Like, I didn't come from entertainment. I didn't come from consumer brand. I was a technology entrepreneur. And I mean, I have a family background in media and entertainment, but like, I wouldn't call myself
Spielberg,
an insider from the industry. So we did a bunch of proprietary research about a year and a half ago with BCG, really around what were the drivers that caused a consumer to buy if there was a personality attached to it. And a lot of those categories you would imagine, it was beauty and fashion, but number two and number three on those lists every time it was technology. And I think the next real level up is you're going to start to see more and more personalities get involved in the technological realm around how they deliver ambitious things. And I think for Caravan, our future is really focused on how do you deliver ambitious platforms and game-changing technologies in sports, media, and entertainment that consumers want and care about that can be authentically paired and co-founded with people in that industry? And so for us, technology is our core. It's where we start. Even if we're building a consumer brand, we're always asking the question, can this collect data? So we have a a shower business that we created. And I remember walking in the room at CEA and talking to people about showers, and people being like, "What are you talking about? Like, why are you here talking to me about showers?" And the reality was, we did it because we understood, the company's called Hy, and we understood that water was a deeply, deeply important environmental risk. And the number one user of water in terms of us as consumers is your shower every morning. It's the biggest waste of water. And we wanted to collect data. We wanted to understand data for the beauty industry, for an environmental purpose. And so that company was built on the back of data collection. And if you think about it, the reason there's not a lot of data collected in a shower is there's no electricity in there. So we had to actually make our own electricity through the power of the water, so that you don't have to, hook up electricity inside your shower. We just make it in the way a little teeny tiny hydro dam would make it. So almost everything we do starts with technology around, can we collect data? Can we understand and serve the customer better? Can you overlay technologies on top of that to understand how to truly personalize and understand product and brand direction? But as we go forward, we're really going to be focusing on building our own proprietary language models that focus on answering questions that we want to know the answers to. Like, how do you know if somebody is transactable? How do you know if one video versus another video is more statistically significant in its influence? And I think the more we know that, the more we'll understand how to build companies going forward. But I would say there's a lot of people running around talking about AI who have no clue what it is, and haven't, we built a business that built a really early form of AI 10 years ago. And I think there's a lot of people who just don't understand what it means and don't understand how to apply it. And they're just going to fall victim in a much more deep way than we did in the first iteration of the internet, where everybody kind of rushed in but didn't know what they were doing. And so I think the people that take the time to really understand it, understand AI, understand what it means, what it can do, what it can't do, will be ahead of the game. And that's very much a part of our game plan. We're very focused on the ambitiousness of that and what are the things that we can do to rewrite an entire sector and do that in partnership with really iconic people.
I love the fact that you leverage being a recovering lawyer like myself and take a macro perspective. I especially appreciate different publications where I've seen your macroeconomic view of tech trends have assisted me greatly as a venture capitalist myself. And
Thank you.
like minds and like perceptions allow for great margins to be made of value. But the thing that really resonates with me the most and why I wanted to have you on the podcast was that everything that you do, as I have learned from an incredible mentor, Lee Steinberg, was to have a cause or a purpose or an impact. And you have empowered others and surrounded yourself with so many other people to make a positive impact, to allow us to progress in a hyper complex separate world, and hopefully bringing a more unified approach through venture and technology and through just a good hearted purpose that can be passed on in the business world, a hyper competitive business world. And I see Caravan is doing that in multi-millions of dollars to empower the right people with the right ideas. Leonard Brody, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your playbook to success, impact, passion, purpose, and profitability. Check out Caravan. They are leading the way with some great celebrities, great entertainers, but also great impact. Please join us again. I look forward to talking to you. Thanks, Leonard Brody.
Thank you so much for having me.
Incredible interview. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.